Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby live on your radio. This is the broadcast for December the 10th in the year of our Lord, 2020. This is hour two of two. The goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. All right, we talked about a big news headline, basically about YouTube. YouTube just announced that it would be removing any content that alleged voter fraud or disputed Joe Biden's victory. They say it's all fake news, man. Look, Kurt, yesterday was Safe Harbor Day, buddy. No, 2 days ago, I guess. Tuesday was Safe Harbor Day. And you know what? That's enough to prove that enough states have certified in U.S. Harbor Day. There's no going back now. It's all been decided in the 2020 presidential election. Lies. YouTube. But they're no different than the other liars. Right?
So they're, they're just finally coming along and catching up to Instagram or what is it, Twitter and all those other guys, you know.
Right? You know, but now there's a big headline. New York Attorney General says that 48 states file lawsuit against Facebook in what they call landmark antitrust offensive on big tech. But, Kurt, I don't have any confidence. I don't have any confidence in the courts. Because remember, the federal government in bed with big tech, military, big tech, and universities all built these technologies. And now we're going to sue saying they're abusing us, Kurt? How's that all going to work out? You think the courts are going to expose the dishonesty by government and the triad that built these and take them all down?
I guess the phrase comes to my mind from Ammon Bundy when he said, what are we to do?
That's a fair question.
And so as far as I can tell, you know, folks like Lynn Wood and, you know, Sidney Powell, Matt Staver, and so many others that are working on this, and including us, you know, we must do all we can to, exhaust every legal means. Unlike those on the other side who at least seem to take the illegal means, for their goals, if you will. It's kind of like this one football game that happened last Saturday night. I don't know if you heard about it, but BYU had a game, Sam.
Yeah, I listened to the whole game.
They were playing a team called Coastal Carolina.
Yeah.
And right at the end of the first half, there was an incident where, if you look it up on YouTube, you know, maybe it's gone now, but it was labeled cheap shot. And so it was, you could basically see a couple of Coastal Carolina guys just basically beating up on the quarterback for BYU, and the ref must have been 10 feet away or something, because he basically showed up right as they smashed him to the ground for the second time, and there was no flag and no penalty on the and the players that did that to the quarterback, and they almost had a knockout brawl out there on the field. And yet, I just think that kind of stuff is unfair. It's not part of the game. I mean, but some folks say it is part of the game. They say that you can do anything to achieve your ends, if you will. And that's, I guess, what the YouTube, Twitter folks, et cetera, you know, they don't want to address any of the criminal activity, or as they want to use it, the word is anomalies. But out here in the country,
there you go.
Lying, cheating, stealing.
Yeah, that's right. But you know what? North Carolina won, right?
Well, they had more points. Yeah, that's right.
So when you know, just so you know, folks, when you have more points, you win. Now, what Kurt's trying to do is draw a broader definition to the point win, and I think Kurt's right on this. He just needs to explain it so people get it, because otherwise, people think Kurt's completely confused. Look, BYU won; they got more points. Now, when we talk about winning, though, what Kurt's pointing out is
Coastal Carolina, right?
Coastal Carolina won; they got more points. But your point is a broader win. You don't win when you win by dishonesty. Is that what you're getting at, Kurt?
Well, I think there's a God in heaven who really keeps track of the big score. And that if you do those kinds of things on the big scorebook, if you will, you're going to pay for
you're
it.
You're going to lose. That's right.
In the end, Sam.
Yeah. And so anyway, I just wanted to make sure that you got a chance to explain that, because otherwise people are going like, what are you talking about? Well, Kurt's appealing to a broader focus on what win really means. And I think Kurt's spot on and right on the point. It's just a point we need to kind of explain to people so they understand what our reference point is of what we regard as winning, right? But I don't have a lot of confidence that these states are going to, you know, do a lot to Facebook. What they might do is get Facebook and Instagram separated. What they might do is get Facebook beat up a bunch and have Facebook pay a bunch of money. But if you think that the states are going to basically sue and they're going to have an open case like Congress drilling into big tech and drilling down big tech executives, if you think they're going to dismantle what the government through the Pentagon and the military and black op money has put together with the universities and big tech to control us all, if you think they're going to take that down over this, you're sadly mistaken. Okay? I don't have trust in the courts, and I don't for a reason. Let me give you an example. Hunter Biden reveals that he's under a federal tax investigation, Kurt. That he says, don't worry, it's going to prove that I'm on the up and up and I'm all good. And do you expect them to toss Hunter in the clink, Kurt?
I expect him to, but I doubt they will, Sam.
So when you say you expect him to, but you doubt it, what does that mean, Kurt?
Well, I expect honesty and good government from all of our officials. I just like when I went over the train track and the train was coming like, you know, a way far away, and it was coming really, really slow because the rule on the book said that if it was within 1,000 feet or more than 3 football fields, you know, then they had to give me a ticket. I expect the same kind of justice for all as they give me.
Amen to that, yet, but you're not going to see that, buddy. You're going to basically pay your fine, and if you don't cooperate, you're going to jail, and Hunter's going to skate free, my friend. In fact, if he can hold on a month longer or so, he's going to have his dad pardon him, buddy. That's what's going on with this thing. Now, I wish it were different, but I don't really see us taking anybody to the cleaners that is on the wrong side of these discussions. Why are we worried about his IRS issues, Kurt, when he's been involved with communist nations and he's been involved internationally in very shady dealing? And why aren't we dealing with that? Why are we dealing with the IRS discussion?
Well, this is probably a perfect time to bring up this little simple idea, Sam, that I've been kind of kicking around, and that is, you know,
where'd you get the idea?
The president has, well, I don't know, it probably just came into my little brain.
Okay, so you made it up. You came up with this idea. Got it.
But, you know, it's added up with a number of different things, and I think, you know, just like you remember, there were a whole bunch of people saying that President Trump had, or even candidate Trump was being assisted and supported and beefed up or whatever, you know, that he was colluding with the Russians. You remember that?
Oh, yeah. It went on for a couple of years and cost over $30 million, yeah? Other than that, yeah, no, well, I don't remember.
It was kind of quiet. But, you know, it was like a daily drumbeat or whatever for all that time. And then in the end, you know, the bottom line that most folks don't know is that there was really nothing to it. Now, I think that you could literally do the same kind of thing about Biden and China, and yet you could really show the Chinese intervention, as well as if you've got voting systems that are connected to places like Iran and Serbia and Germany or whatever, then you could say, look, we've got foreign intervention in our elections, and this time it's not just talk, it's real. Therefore, so that we can keep our country and not have a stooge that is owned by the communist Chinese or whatever else, because we've got all this fraud evidence that we can present to you that shows this, we've got to protect our country. And, you know, the president could say, look, because of the oath I took to defend the Constitution from enemies foreign, that would be your Chinese, you know, Iran, you know, you go on down the list, and domestic, and that would be anybody in America who's, you know, not just the one congressman that they're talking about now that got caught in a little honeypot from the Chinese spy, but, you know, guys like Biden and others, you know, he has a duty to protect us from those enemies, doesn't he?
Yes, he does, but how to get it done in the deep swamp when they're arresting all the good guys is another discussion. Rush Limbaugh speaks out on this. We'll talk about it in seconds.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family.
Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better have a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
All right, so we're still in the middle of Kurt's idea, and the idea is what now, Kurt?
Well, you know, if you take the way the New York Times and the Washington Post and so many others on their side went after the president for the so-called Russia connection and collusion and all that kind of stuff, you could basically take that same narrative and you just insert, instead of Russia, in this case, you insert China and maybe Iran, and you insert Biden, and you've got real evidence, and you've got real election
tampering. We've already got that done.
Yeah.
So now we got to do is file lawsuits and then have the, you know, courts or whatever else, and we got to arrest people, Kurt.
Well, yeah, I guess, except for, in my opinion, the president as president, you know, and commander-in-chief or whatever, if he saw literally Chinese invasion in America and trying to take over our country, I don't think he would have to, you know, file a lawsuit or anything about it.
I would have to.
Right.
Okay, now if the president, so your idea is for the president to take action, and it's been a great idea. We've been begging him to do it ever since he, on the campaign trail, chanted, lock her up. We've been asking the president to do that very thing, Kurt, and he won't.
Yeah.
Right? Your idea is a great one. I agree completely, and I think we've been working on that hard. If your point is we should ratchet it up, I completely agree as well.
Yeah, I just think that he could use the exact same
thing. Why don't you call him up,
say,
Kurt?
Look, right.
Because he ain't listening to me.
Well, I figure it's one way we can do it, by providing solutions and some suggestions. And then our program is, of course, available anywhere, anytime.
Good point. I even wrote an open letter to the president back in the day, Kurt. Do you remember that?
Yes, I do.
So, I mean, I don't know how to do it more than we're already doing.
It was an open letter to not just the president. It was like to everybody about.
Well, so there's two open letters I wrote. One was to the president. The other one was to the media.
Okay.
And to everybody. But I wrote a specific open letter to the President of the United States. And I agree with you completely, Kurt. You know, I mean, we've done everything we can, though. Rush has offered to make his radio show available to the president. We've offered to have the president on. We've offered to partner with the president. You know, we've offered to help with his media efforts and campaigns. We've offered to help him by building a task force to, you know, get the innocent out of prison. The Freedom Coalition is the project we worked on for that. We've tried to get Richard Mack and Sam Bushman and many others to meet with the president to discuss a lot of these ideas and things, and you know, create a kind of a sheriff's posse, so to speak, or a support group to vet the cases of who should be going to jail and all this kind of stuff. And you know, we've worked on this hard, Kurt, and I think we should keep working on it. I think your idea is a great one, but I guess I'm trying to say I think we've already done a lot of this. And I'm just not sure what we can do more next, per se. But I completely agree with the idea. But, hey, we need to arrest Joe Biden. Okay, because the IRS investigation is the least of Hunter's worries if we're going to look at the criminal activity that's going on. Right? We were talking about it before the debates and everything else. Then the debates happened, and then the elections happened, and we haven't talked about Joe since. Or Hunter.
Well, and, you know, then there's the whole issue of the spying that that Obama and Biden did on the
correct. You know, so we've documented that. The president's documented that. So have we. Yeah. So the next step is for the president to arrest these thugs.
Well, it sure seems like if it was turned the other way around, like with Nixon, where he basically recorded some of the Democrats' inside stuff or whatever was spying around, you know, there was, boy, heck to pay, you know. And yet, you know, if the shoe's on the other foot, nothing here. Go on from here.
Yeah, and you know, it shows you who really holds the power then, doesn't it, Kurt?
Well, you know, it does show you at least how powerful the swamp is. You know, and the one thing that I guess I get some encouragement from when you see 18 states, you know, with Texas, including all these ones, and even including our attorney general, at least, signing on to this lawsuit at the Supreme Court, you know, that is, I think, breath of fresh air, something that may prove, I guess you could say, what's his name, Joseph Ferris says, this is what is he called, the big one, and he says, pray. He says, the big one lands at the Supreme Court. Joseph Ferris urges readers to pray. SCOTUS does the right thing with the Texas suit.
Well, and I agree with Joseph Ferris. I pray for that. I hope for that. I commend the states for doing what they're doing. I'm a little concerned internally for Utah because now you got the governor, the lieutenant governor, or the governor attacking, or governor-elect attacking our attorney general for doing it. And so that's a little bit of an internal turmoil I'm concerned about. But I commend the 18 states, and I commend President Trump. And what I want is honesty out of the courts, but I don't know that we'll get it. I don't know what the courts will do with this thing, Kurt. They're either going to come back and say we won't touch it. They're going to come back and basically look at it and say, oh, there's nothing here, move along. The likelihood of them really shutting down the vote fraud is pretty slim. Why do I say that? Because there was about 50 lawsuits filed over this so far, Kurt. And about 35 of them have already been rejected by lower courts. And then you got the state of Pennsylvania, the Republican leadership there basically saying, okay, let's take this to court. And the court literally rejected it without even a comment. And so hopefully this state of Texas lawsuit, now a class action multi-state lawsuit, going to the Supreme Court, hopefully the Supremes will take that more seriously. I pray that they do. I sure hope so. But I have my doubts. I have my doubts the courts will decide to take it on. And I wish I were wrong. Now, Jerome Corsi believes 7 out of 9 will double down in defense of Trump. I pray that's true. But, man, in case after case after case for over 4 years, we've watched Trump just take a beating in the courts. And it's because the courts are literally controlled. They're just a bunch of power-hungry kings, and they're activists from the bench. They don't really interpret the law or call the Constitution as they see it. They literally make up law from the bench. They literally just take unprecedented action whenever they get the whim. They're literally a bunch of black tyrant robe thugs, right? And that's what we see from the courts. And I pray that we can have honesty at the top. But I sure have my doubts. Rush Limbaugh in the news, Kurt. And he has some what he calls ominous warning about the future of America. Did you see this?
I think I saw the headline on it, yeah.
Yeah, Rush Limbaugh sounds ominous warning about the future of America. He says, hey, we cannot be in this dire of a conflict without something giving somewhere. Joe Kovacs, WND.com, with the details. He says he believes our nation is moving towards secession. Kurt? You agree with him?
Well, we've heard of calls for secession from many places, whether it's Texas or at least parts of different states. You got Rhode Island that's the size of many counties in some states, and yet they have 2 senators and a representative in Congress, while the rest of us, we have huge swaths of land and areas and very little representation. I can see that, like, for example, the eastern part of Washington, the northern part of California, here in Utah, I think folks outside of Salt Lake City would like to, secede from Salt Lake City. You just have this kind of thing going on all the time when people disagree with, have disagreements, and it's nice to have real representation. It kind of goes back to that argument that we've talked about before, though, that if we really had, real representation now as compared to the Founding Fathers' time, we'd have a lot more representatives in Congress, right?
Yeah, because the constitutional provision is for a scaling of Congress, right?
Well, it seemed like,
House.
If I remember right, it was like 35,000 people for each representative, something like that.
Yeah, and how many reps do we have, Kurt? 4 in Utah?
Yeah, and so it's like 1 million per
rep, there might be, 1 million adults in Utah?
Well, I don't know. I was thinking it was 1 million people, 4 million.
There's
people.
About three plus million people in Utah, but I assume half of them are children, right? Or at least a third. So, you got about 2 million adults at the most, maybe in Utah, that would be voting adults or whatever that it would relate to. Now, what's 2 million divided by 35,000, Kurt? How many reps should we have, huh?
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
The Justice Department's investigation scrutinizing Hunter Biden's taxes has been examining some of his Chinese business dealings, among other financial transactions. The investigation was launched in 2018 and is aided by a discarded Hunter Biden laptop containing tens of thousands of emails. Some of the emails may implicate President-elect Joe Biden of wrongdoings.
And yet, here's the ultimate hypocrisy again. The Democrats have something in their own house that needs to be investigated, and they're all stonewalling right now.
Georgia Senator David Perdue on Fox News. Federal authorities have launched an investigation into the police shootings Monday of 23-year-old Casey Christopher Goodson Jr., who was killed last week when he entered his Columbus, Ohio home with sandwiches for his family. The Columbus Division of Police said Franklin County Sheriff's Deputy Jason Meade was working for the U.S. Marshals Service, helping search for a fugitive when he saw a man with a gun in Columbus. Meade opened fire when the man did not drop his weapon after he was ordered to do so. USA Radio News.
Balance of Nature's fruits and vegetables in a capsule, changing the world one life at a time.
I've been taking vitamins off and on my whole adult life, and I've never seen any change, not like this, not since I've been on Balance of Nature. I used to take prescription medication for muscle aches and stuff. I don't take that anymore. I wish I'd have started it back when I first heard about it on the radio. And if I can give Balance of Nature any advice, keep it out on the radio, because I still hear these commercials from time to time, and I'm thinking, you know, you people need to listen up. I mean, I'm over 50, and, you know, your body starts wearing down. But Balance of Nature has literally changed my life. It really has.
Get a wide variety of all your daily recommended servings of whole fruits and vegetables without having to leave your home. Right now, Balance of Nature is offering free shipping and 35% off on any new preferred order. Call 1-800-246-8751 or go to balanceofnature.com and use discount code USA.
Missouri led a group of 17 states that Wednesday afternoon filed a brief with the Supreme Court supporting the Texas lawsuit aimed at delaying the appointment of presidential electors from Georgia, Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin. The bill of complaint alleges that non-legislative people in each defendant state unconstitutionally abolished or diluted statutory safeguards against election fraud. Facebook was hit with a pair of antitrust lawsuits on Wednesday as government officials accused the Silicon Valley giant of systemically acquiring smaller rivals in order to prevent them from becoming competitive threats. Both the Federal Trade Commission and Attorney General from 46 U.S. states are looking to force Facebook to sell Instagram and WhatsApp. There will be a Thursday night football game tonight at SoFi Stadium in Inglewood, California, just outside of Los Angeles, as the Patriots and Rams get together. The game will be on Fox, NFL Network, and Amazon, starting at 8:20 p.m. Eastern. This is USA Radio News.
All right, I did some research. According to the Federal Register, estimates of the voting age population as of 2018, Kurt, and in Utah, it's 2,228,000. And if I divide that, so just say 2,250,000, you got about 65 representatives that you and I would have if it was 35,000 related to the ratios in the Constitution. So we have four, and we should have 64, 65. It depends, because it's not an exact number, right? But anyway, there you go.
Well, that's a great point, Sam. And
anyway, so do you think Russia's right? Do you think people are going to secede? Kurt? Do you think secession's coming up?
I've tried to figure out how that could work in America, because what you really need is some kind of line where it's like liberals and whatever are one side and the conservatives or the other side, but I don't see how to fix that.
You don't secede like that, Kurt. You secede by the state. Right? Isn't that how secession works?
Well, yeah, but you've got to have, I mean, in America, you have to have, if you're going to do the red state, blue state thing, you're going to have some kind of really spread out, split up
thing. Well, Russia isn't saying anything about a red state or a blue state. He's just saying we got such a divide in America that he sees secession if we're not careful. He sees this nation moving towards secession is how he says it. Limbaugh believes the nation is moving towards secession. And I'm just asking if you think that's true. You think that's right? Is that going to happen?
Well, I don't know if it'll ever really happen. At least what I've ever seen is there's always talk about it. And I've never seen any of it. I remember when Arizona said that they were going to secede from the union when we got to, what was it, $6 trillion in debt?
Yeah.
And
how much did you say?
I think they said it was $6 trillion. I think we're way past that.
Yeah.
I don't think
they've impossible to know the numbers. I know this ought to help us on the way to divide of all kinds, whether it be secession or some other divide and conquer tactic they're using to destroy the greatest country on the face of the earth. But here's the next headline. Former federal security officials are urging Joe Biden to more seriously acknowledge the growing danger of domestic terrorism. And they welcome the fact that he plans to do so, Kurt. What do you think that means when they start ratcheting up domestic terrorism discussions?
Well, we've seen it in the past, you know, when they said if you had a Ron Paul bumper sticker, you know, you were trouble or whatever. But, you know, one thing to throw in on the, at least on the Rush Limbaugh thing for you, he said when he was asked about the whole secession thing, he says, I still haven't given up the idea that we are the majority and that all we have to do is find a way to unite and win. He says, our problem is the fact that there are just so many rhinos, he calls them. That means Republican in name only. I'd use swamp or insider, but anyway, he says, so many Republicans in the Washington establishment who will do anything to maintain their membership in the establishment because of the perks and the opportunities that are presented for their kids and so forth. He said, I see more and more people asking what in the world do we have in common with the people who live in, say, New York? Well, New York, you know, upstate New York, you have, you know, probably some pretty good folks, but in the big city, it just seems like it's just so socialist, doesn't it, Sam? He goes on, says, I see a lot of bloggers, I can't think of names right now, a lot of bloggers have written extensively about how distant and separated and how much more separated our culture is becoming politically and that it can't go on this way. And he was responding to a caller named Jamie from Shelbyville, Kentucky, who was looking to brainstorm ideas on how to push back against the division and unite Americans again.
Amen to that. So, yeah, it's a serious problem. I don't know if we'll end up with a secession. I know there's a secessionist movement out there. They want to use an Article 5 convention. They don't believe that'll lead to secession, but I believe that it might. So you got the Article 5 folks. You got the secessionist folks. Now you got Betsy DeVos in the news, Kurt, for Trump Education Department. Free colleges is a socialist takeover of higher education, she says.
Well, she's right, and so is all the other free education, Sam, but she didn't go that far up.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Right as rain she is, I'll tell you that right now. Good for Betsy DeVos.
Yeah.
Now, the other problem is, you know how when we talk about the sheriff's movement, Kurt, the liberals always attack us, and they're like, you think the sheriffs can do whatever they want to, and you guys just don't have any respect for law, and you think the sheriffs just on a whim can support the laws they like and reject the laws they don't like, and you can just do whatever you want. That's what you guys think of the sheriff. You think he's like the supreme whatever everywhere, don't you? And they attack us. You remember all that, Kurt?
Yep.
They selectively, these sheriffs, you know, you act like they can do what they want and enforce what they want and not enforce what they don't want. And I got a headline for you. Newsom, that's Governor Gavin Newsom down there in California. This guy's a whack job. Governor Gavin Newsom ignores the Supreme Court, Kurt, and doubles down on religious gathering restrictions. So do you thugs that mock us when we say that the sheriff has an obligation to the supreme law of the land and of the Constitution, and that they can't just do what they want, how does the governor get that authority, ladies and gentlemen? I got to ask you that. I submit to you that a sheriff in a given county has more authority of what happens in his county than the governor does in his state. You say, wait a minute, Sam, where do you get an idea like that? Well, the sheriff is at least in the right executive branch to do this. You could say, well, the governor is too, Sam. And my response is, I don't think so. Why? Because the governor and a sheriff have different responsibilities. The government, the governor's not a law enforcement agent, is he, Kurt?
Well, they say he's the head of the executive department, which is supposed to execute the laws. But, you know, the beautiful thing about America, we're supposed to have these many separated areas. You know, you got your counties, your cities, your states, your and even the federal government. Each one is supposed to have a limited role and, you know, take care of those things. And when you get somebody out of control, like Governor Nuisance, you know, then you basically, at least you can go to a friendlier county, if not a friendlier state. And we're seeing that right now as Utah, for example, gets invaded by Californians that are
so does Texas.
Leaving their state.
Elon Musk rolling to Texas, you know. But I say that the governor doesn't have more power in his state than the sheriff does in his county. Okay, and so if Gavin Newsom could just thumb his nose at the Supreme Court, is that okay? Doubles down on religious gathering restrictions. What do you do in
that
case?
Well, you could say that the governor is doing what he calls, what was the phrase Tom Woods called it when he would say that you nullify. He's, you know, in his way, he's nullifying what the Supreme Court's telling him to do. I will simply say this now. There's, you know, the remedy for people in California is they either move or they change the governor. You know, there's...
Or they have their local county sheriffs say, in my county, my friend, we will not let you shut down religious gatherings.
Mm-hmm.
The sheriffs can do that.
Or you've even...
My whole point to bring this up is, where does the governor get more power in a given county than the sheriff?
I don't think he does.
No, that's my whole point.
The only way is that the people let him do it. But
that's right.
You know, it's like the what was it? The one story I saw that the bunch of you know, doctors are basically saying, "Hey, why in the world?" This was a Senate hearing, and they're, you know, complaining that we still got these rules that say you can't use certain things for treatment of COVID. You know, I mean, the headline was...
I'll tell you why we have that, because the legislatures and the courts are primarily Democratic, and that's what they want to do, is control the people. And if you let people use alternative solutions and get the population healed, that won't work very well for their vaccination agenda and for their control and tracing and, you know, monitoring everyone and locking everybody down. It won't work very well for that. And since, you know, hey, we haven't arrested Fauci yet and or put, you know, sidelined him and fired him, then, hey, he, along with the Democrats, simply rule the roost, buddy. What are you going to do about it? Right? Just like Newsom. These guys are out of control and no one's really reining these people in. They ought to be arrested. The people ought to be up in arms. Not literally, but figuratively over this. Republican senators find body bags. We'll talk about that in seconds.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, "By having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids."
Have we realized the assault against our lives, our liberties, our faith? To defeat this assault, Christians and all people of goodwill should have strategies to prevail in our faith and principles, which are simple. No need for a complex formula. One goal, one aim. A strategy like the heroic Christians of the past. We win, they lose. Nothing less. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm by a friend of Medjugorje. The strategy of heaven revealed. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm. Available on Amazon.com or by calling Caritas in the U.S. at 205-672-2000.
All right, intimidation at the highest levels, huh, Kurt?
Well, I think so, Sam. The headline reads, Republican senators find body bags and anti-Trump messages on their doorsteps. Jack Davis, writing for the Western Journal, has got this piece. And these senators have, not gone along with Nancy Pelosi. And so there was a protest, you got the Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, or as Rush Limbaugh calls him, the Turtle, and Senators Susan Collins of Maine, James Inhofe of Oklahoma, Lindsey Graham of South Carolina were the focus of this protest. At each of their doors, at their area residences, remember we did that story where the people were outside the residence of that one place and said it was really terrible and stuff, but I didn't hear much about this. But this was at their residences. They put it at the doors. The protesters dragged these body bags from a truck and dumped them out front. And it shows, pictures of them. It's like 10 or 12 or, it's not just one. And then they got signs all over their doors. And it says, over 270,000 dead, more losing jobs. And so their point is try to get them to send more money, spend more money on this whole thing. And yet if they really want some solutions, there are some solutions, but you just got to quit looking in all the wrong places, right, Sam?
Amen to that. But body bags, Kurt, that's a little more intense than the guys out there with bullhorns and thinking about the walls of Jericho and stuff, right?
Well, I think so, and yet the media doesn't really say that.
Of course not.
That's
why we got to bring it to your attention.
Yes.
Governor, I guess, Christie. Is her name Christy Noem? Is that it?
Yes. From Pummel's South Dakota.
Network. I guess they had more misleading reporting, Kurt, but hey, when's YouTube going to ban those suckers, huh?
Yeah, good point. I don't think so. And then the subheadline says, report implied South Dakota hospitals are in crisis. Oh, you mean there was some inaccurate reporting? No.
The governor, Kurt, says they're not in crisis.
Yep. Well, the governor just doesn't. She's just not up on it, people like the AP, they'd never mislead you, and Reuters, and YouTube and Twitter and et cetera, right?
There you have it. Our prayers are with Christy Noem, and our prayers are that hospitals don't get overwhelmed, and our prayers are that we tell the truth, okay? Embryo reanimated. Kurt, you want to talk about this one, huh?
Well, I was trying to remember, is that in the same group or is that
in
the next group?
Same group, buddy. Embryo reanimated.
Oh, yeah, I see it. Matters of Life and Death. It's a World Net Daily.
Well, it says
piece.
After a quarter century on ice, ladies and gentlemen.
So it's a real cool story, Sam. So I guess they kept this embryo, which is, a sperm and an ovum, put together, a little baby. On ice, and then placed it in the womb, Sam, and they had a record-breaking live birth, over a quarter century that baby just waited. It says, subheadline, proof positive that no embryo should ever be discarded. So, it's just one more of those things. on the pro-life side, you know, where we're promoting that idea of life, you know, and how important it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of a weird scenario, though. You know, when you start getting into this science-based creating of babies or whatever, a little bit of it kind of concerns me. You know, when is it right versus when is it wrong? And, you know, in my opinion, if it's a husband and a wife that are legally and lawfully married and, you know, they want to have children, they go to extra scientific lengths to have them, I think that's wonderful. Mm-hmm. When we start freezing embryos, just letting any sperm or freezing eggs and letting any sperm, whatever, to make a baby or whatever, where you don't really know who mom and dad is or you don't really know what. At some point, I start to get kind of concerned about the science and the morality of the discussions, and the more further you get from normal childbearing and, you know, normal baby making and stuff like that, in my opinion, the more concerning it can become. And I don't mean to throw any cold water on anybody who genuinely wants children, who's legally and lawfully married, who believes that, hey, we need to invite children to our home and we're ready and willing and able to provide good homes. I don't mean to be offensive to them in any way, but in our modern society, again, it's not technology that's bad. Oftentimes, it's how it's used that's bad. And let's be very careful that we stay away from the, well, the more we jettison the traditional God-ordained family, the more concerned I get about it. Let's say it like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in this case, they're talking about a family in Knoxville, Tennessee, that's celebrating the birth of a baby girl, 27 years, they say, almost to the day after her embryo was frozen. That's according to WVLT. The birth of Molly Everett Gibson broke a world record for the longest an embryo had been frozen before birth. It's a record that was previously held by Molly's sister, Emma Wren Gibson. Molly was frozen October 14, 1992, then thawed by National Embryo Donation Center lab director and embryologist Carol Sommerfeld, February 10, 2020, transferred to Tina's uterus. That would be Tina's uterus by NEDC president and medical director, Dr. Jeffrey Keenan, February 12th. So anyway, the thing we're really celebrating is
so whose embryo?
The baby was born. Let's see. Okay, so you've got this family in Tennessee.
Yeah, I get all that.
The birth of Molly broke a world record.
Got all that.
Okay. Molly was frozen, then thawed.
Yeah.
That's and transferred to Tina's uterus.
Yeah, whose embryo is it?
I don't know.
All right. So anyway, that's all I'm saying. Well, I don't know if it's her sister's or not. Her sister had a record before that. I don't know if she's just doing the same thing. But this is kind of what I'm getting at is when we, and maybe in this case, it's all legitimate that it's the same family and that they want to have children and, you know, all that's wonderful. I'm not trying to attack anybody. I'm just trying to say we need to be very careful as the scientist goes along, because pretty soon you'll have three daddies and four mommies and group babies. And, you know, it can go very strange very quickly. And I know this is a good news story because I am pro-life. Okay. But at the same time, I get a little concerned that who's who where, right? And I think adoption should be considered as well. But anyway, I digress except to say we need to be very careful with the science around this. You know, something to worry about. Something to be certainly cognizant of, to say the least. All right, university settles with midwife student. Kurt, did you see this? I guess they're threatening to expel her for pro-life views.
Yeah, well, you know, this is in the Brave New Schools section by WorldNet Daily, and the subheadline says, Fitness to Practice Investigation Ban on Hospital Placement. You know, and so you've got, Sam, it's just, you know, typically the universities are, you know, out of control.
Yeah, funded by tax dollars, remember.
That's right. And the College Fix boys talk about this. It comes from the University of Nottingham, and this case would be sourced from the Telegraph. They settled with a midwifery student whom it tried to expel for her association with a campus pro-life group.
But the bottom line is this is where they try to shut down everything good, and at least they fought back and got a settlement, right?
Yeah. You know, she got an undisclosed payout and an apology for 10 months after the university dropped its fitness to practice investigation. Anyway,
you
say, it's kind of unusual.
All right, you think the leading cause of death is the cocoa? Well, you're wrong. The leading cause of death during the Corona reign of terror is, Kurt?
Well, it's abortion, Sam.
Uh-huh.
I mean, we've talked about that.
Abortion is the leading cause of death. The coronavirus has killed what? 37 million worldwide, Kurt, in abortions?
Abortion has killed during that same period of time, 37 million worldwide.
Compared to how many, Kurt? 250,000 or something? 280,000?
Well, that's in America, right, Sam? So
what is it worldwide?
Talking about worldwide, I don't know, but I know it's not 37
million. You got to research that, Kurt, so you can highlight the people, you know? Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, it's a world at daily peace, and so, I mean, it's nice to know that those guys are doing it, but the Life News boys are the ones who have the real details on it. Abortion is the leading cause of death during the coronavirus, killing 37 million worldwide. They say 250,000, that's the number of Americans who have died from the coronavirus, despite the best efforts of President Trump. Frontline medical workers and Americans doing what they can to protect themselves. It's a heartbreaking number and all that other stuff. But then they say 250,000 Americans have died from the coronavirus and 1,358,413 have died worldwide. Those tragic numbers pale in comparison to the number of babies killed in abortions that are.
In other words, what, 37 times,
million.
Kurt?
Well, yeah, that's, you know, it's maybe not exactly, but, you know, quite.
Well, they said a little over a million were killed one way and 37 million killed the other way, right?
Yeah, you got 1.4 million and versus, you know, almost 38.
Yeah, and then the question is, do you believe all the deaths are accurate numbers?
That's exactly
right. But I'm just
saying,
in general, you got about 37 times if you trust both numbers to some degree, right?
125,000 abortions or babies killed each day.
Worldwide. Well,
you know.
No one seems to be howling about it except for a few pro-life groups and us, right?
Day. Right. About 2,500 per day in America. But, you know, that's the group you just don't talk about.
Right? Yeah. Sad to say. We highlight it because we need to have truth there.
Yeah.
All right. Two final stories before the end of the hour. They're both about the cocoa vaccines, Kurt. Okay. First one says two British people with severe allergies apparently had allergic reactions to the Pfizer biotech, whatever vaccine. They say now people are questioning if it's safe. And in Britain, they're saying, hey, if you have severe allergies, don't take the vaccines now. Kurt, we haven't even released this thing and we're already getting reports like that. Also headline FDA, that's the Food and Drug Administration in the United States, reports that six people died during the Pfizer COVID vaccine trial. Did you know six people died, Kurt?
Nope.
How come? Shouldn't you be told that, my friend?
Probably got run over by a truck, you know, something like that.
What?
Just kidding, Sam.
Oh, man. You're saying they probably got run over by a truck and then they said it was the cocoa? I don't think you're kidding. I think that happens.
Yes, sir.
It's not a joke. It's not funny. Sadly, it's as true as it gets. All right, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. 2 hours of hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use in the can. If you believe our efforts are worthy, donate liberally today. LovingLiberty.net. Spread the word. Live and on-demand radio free at your fingertips. For Sam, Kurt, and Brian, we declare we the people, along with the grace of the Almighty, we can and will restore our grand old republic. Please get involved, make it a great day, and choose the right, will you? We declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.